The belief about the way government should function in our society is that much of the workings of government should be open to the public. After all, the government's business is on behalf of the people. In practice, we just don't get to see some things, not without asking anyway. And Oregon's still relatively new public records advocate wanted to get an idea of what happens when people do ask for public records. So the advocate sent out a survey to state agencies and a bunch of local governments, big and small. Not surprisingly, there is some variety in responses, both to the survey and to the records requests. Ginger McCall is the Oregon Public Records Advocate and the chair of the Public Records Advisory Council, or PRAC. Ginger, thanks for joining us on The Exchange today.
Thank you so much for having me.
You have all kinds of experience working with public agencies on both sides of such requests. Still, has this job been a bit of an eye-opener for you?
It has been, and it's been very challenging. It's a job that I think inherently has in it some conflicts. Wanting to please both the requester community, but also to be within the government and work with the government in a way that's positive.
Right, and there are some, certainly, and it's a natural sort of adversarial relationship there, as it is with reporters and the people they cover often.
Yeah, it is very tricky, and I think it's a job that has a lot of very deep politics in it sometimes.
No doubt. So what kinds of information did you want to compile through this survey?
So this survey was conducted by the Public Records Advisory Council, and it was sent out by my office. And we were hoping to get more information about how agencies are actually performing when they're processing public records requests. We wanted to see how many requests an agency is getting, how long it's taking them to process that, what kind of fees they're collecting. And we also thought that this would be a great opportunity to get some information about where agencies are putting their public records policies, which are, in fact, required by law. So we wanted to kind of get more information about that, and we were also hoping to just encourage agencies to start gathering this kind of data, which some of them, as you can see from the survey, weren't necessarily gathering up to this point.
Right. I'll get into the variation in just a moment, but how did you choose which agencies would get surveys?
So we surveyed all of the state agencies under the governor's arm of government, so everything that was in all of the executive agencies. But we also did a random sampling of cities, counties, special districts, and other more local governments, school districts.
All right. So when you talk about the executive agencies for state government, not things like the Legislative Council's office or things like that?
No, not yet. We're hoping to expand the survey in the coming years to survey, for instance, BOLI and Treasury and Secretary of State's office.
Oh, right. Bureau of Labor and Industries. Yes, that's just true. So what were you hoping for, Ginger, in the percentage of returns, and what did you get?
So we got about 70%. And also, aside from that, we got the 70% initial response. But since stories have been published about this, since we published these survey results, I've heard back from more of the agencies. Some of the non-responsive agencies have actually reached out and they've wanted to fill out the survey and give their information. So I think that our response rate has actually climbed since we've released these survey results. On the whole, I was really pleased with this as a response rate for a first-time survey. I suspect that in the coming years that response rate will increase as agencies start to know more about the survey and they're more aware of it.
And the latecomers, you're going to say yes, okay, you'll put their information into the spreadsheet with the others?
Yeah, because what we're most interested in is having this information. We're not interested in shaming anyone or making anyone feel bad. You know, what we want is to have the information because the information is really valuable to the public, to the legislature, to the governor's office.
Now, I noticed a missed opportunity in not having a return from Multnomah County. Is that one of the agencies that has said, oh, yeah, we're going to do this now?
Yes, they have reached out to us.
Okay. And an interesting note on Baker County, did they volunteer without being asked?
I can't recall on that one, but we did have some public bodies that did volunteer. When they heard about the survey, they really wanted to participate, even if they hadn't been randomly selected.
So just eyeballing the spreadsheet of responses, which is available to the public, there's a wide variety in quality and quantity. What were some of the things that jumped out for you as the responses themselves rolled in?
So a few of the things that jumped out. First, what I saw in some of these were that some of these agencies aren't necessarily tracking this because they don't necessarily have the tools. So I think that that speaks to a real need for having better tools for tracking public records requests. I also noticed that there seem to be fairly high amounts of fees being charged, especially by police departments, which is something that we had kind of known about beforehand. There's been a bit of a kerfuffle over that in Portland in particular, that police departments are charging for people who are requesting, even victims of crimes requesting police reports. So that may be an area to focus some reform efforts. But also, I really do think that giving agencies better tools to track public records requests is an area that's important to focus reform efforts.
Ginger McCall is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, Oregon's still relatively new public records advocate and chair of the Public Records Advisory Council. We're talking about a survey sent out to state and local governments around the state of Oregon just to get some idea of public records policies and compliance. You can join the conversation with questions and comments on the Exchange, 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Just to give an example of the variety, I noticed the Oregon Medical Board reported collecting fees of $23,737.20, while the Department of Environmental Quality reports approximately $20,000. So this is obviously very different approaches from agency to agency, even within the executive branch of the state government.
Yeah, and it also may be the result of different kinds of requesters. One agency may receive a lot of sort of public interest requesters, a lot of news media requests, and another agency, like I would suspect that this is the case with the medical board, is receiving a lot of public records requests that are only in that person's private interest. So in that instance, you wouldn't necessarily want the taxpayers to be subsidizing the cost for processing those public records requests.
So you mentioned police departments and high fees showing up for some of them. What are the laws that govern how fees can be set? I mean, I guess what I'm asking is if there's anything that prevents an agency from basically making the fees so high that nobody will want to pay them.
So the law says that agencies can only charge fees that are designed to recoup their costs for processing the public records request. Now, how an agency sees that is it varies greatly from agency to agency. Obviously, you can see that in the spreadsheet. They're only allowed to charge reasonable fees, but reasonable is fairly discretionary. I think one of the most difficult parts and perhaps one of the most problematic parts of Oregon's public records law is that the fee provisions within the law are so discretionary, and they do allow agencies to charge sometimes very high amounts of fees. And I have seen in some places agencies are charging not only for the salaries of employees who are spending time processing the public records requests, but also, you know, 35% or 40% on top of that for their overhead costs. So the fees can be quite a barrier to entry.
From what people reported voluntarily on the survey, did you find anybody actually out of compliance with state law?
No, not usually. I actually was very pleased to see that most of the agencies, most of the time, seem to be fulfilling requests within the statutory deadlines. They are acting fairly well, and they are fairly timely in their processing of requests according to the survey results. So I was pleased to see that. There wasn't any obvious and glaring illegality that came out in the survey. The survey wasn't really designed to capture that. It was designed to just sort of bring in information more generally to give the Public Records Advisory Council and the legislature and perhaps the governor's office more information to make more educated decisions about public records reforms.
The survey, at least based on the columns that you show on the spreadsheet, look fairly limited, just like 5 questions or so?
It was. We wanted to start off making this a pretty easy survey, and then perhaps over the next few years we'll add more questions to it. But because this was the first time we were doing the survey, we wanted to make it fairly limited. There's also a second sheet in the survey spreadsheet that has the substantive responses, and that has information about public records policies, contact information for public records officers, which is information that we really wanted to get, and we're hoping to post up on our website to make it easier for people to find this information.
Okay. Yeah, I'm just looking at the columns for number of requests received, number of requests completed within 15 business days, number completed within 60 business days, as of the survey response date, fee waivers or reductions granted and denied, and as of survey response date, total approximate fees collected to fulfill public records requests. That's the dollar amount we were talking about before.
Yeah.
Interesting, looking at things like the optometry board's response to how many requests was maybe one?
Yeah, some of these agencies are just not getting very many requests. And I will also say that we had modeled this survey off of, there was a piece of proposed legislation that the council had put forth last year in the last legislative session. And that was gathering basically the same information. Unfortunately, that legislative proposal didn't pass this legislative session, but we're hoping to put it up again for consideration in the next long legislative session. But it would have required yearly that agencies report this data.
Okay. Yeah, there are a couple things that you asked for from the legislature. We'll get to that again in just a minute. As currently constructed under state law, though, who gets to standardize PR procedures for state agencies? I mean, can you get directors from the governor's office, from administrative services? I don't believe you have the power at the Public Records Advisory Council, but maybe you do.
No, I definitely don't. Agencies are allowed broadly to sort of create their own processes within their public records policies. They're allowed to set their own fees. They're allowed to create processes through which they process public records requests. There is a movement within the Department of Administrative Services to create a statewide standardized fee schedule for state agencies, at least, that would potentially be mandatory for executive agencies, but that's still in draft form right now.
Ginger McCall, again, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, Oregon's public records advocate and the chair of the Public Records Advisory Council, which is in the process of finding out how people in state agencies and local governments handle public records requests. So they recently sent out a survey that the results have come back, and we're getting a look at these. You can join the conversation on the Exchange about public records and their meaning to people in the state of Oregon and elsewhere for that matter. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Ginger, it seems like some respondents got confused by the wording. A request completed within 15 days should still get counted in the requests completed within 60, shouldn't it?
Some of them did get confused by the wording, and we're hoping that next time we conduct the survey, we'll clarify that wording and it'll be a little bit clearer to them.
So when you look at the policy part of the survey, what kinds of policies does it indicate are out there, and how wide-flung are those?
Well, it looks like most public bodies do have a public records policy. Many of them are posted up online, especially on the state level. So I think that that is a positive step. And again, we're hoping to take those public record survey URLs and put them up on our website so it's easier for people to find them.
And you said that is a requirement. They need to have their policies posted someplace?
It is required. Every public body has to have a public records policy that is publicly available. And I would interpret that to mean that it's up on their website if they have a website, which when you're talking about smaller public bodies like special districts, they may not even have a website. But if it is a public body that has a website, the public records policy should be posted there.
I've been mostly talking about the state agencies, but I mean, how small did you get? Did you get to, you know, some fairly small local fire districts, things like that?
Yeah, some fairly small public bodies. Because we wanted to sort of see broadly what the state of play was across a variety of different public bodies.
And how do some of the really small agencies that may not have that many full-time paid staffers deal with their requests? Or do they get many?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of them don't get very many. It is a real challenge for them, especially when they don't have full-time staff, when they have volunteers. I mean, I have done trainings for some of these special districts, and I've heard from them that oftentimes their offices are only open for 1 or 2 or 3 days a week. So that makes it a real challenge for them to comply with the law.
I know we've talked about the training on previous visits to the Exchange, but what are some of the key components that you provide?
So I provide just a basic overview of the law, what agencies' requirements are under the public records law, the deadlines, the fees that they can charge, the exemptions broadly. I can't cover all of the exemptions because there are about 670 of them now. We would be there all week. But I cover all of those things broadly. But the real emphasis of these trainings, both the trainings that I give for the public and the trainings that I give for the government, is the importance of good communication, the importance of proactive communication, the importance of creating a trusting relationship between the government and its constituents.
In terms of exemptions, you mentioned more than 600 now. Did the exemptions grow again in the long session of the legislature this year?
They did. I put together a spreadsheet that has the new exemptions, and that is available up on our website, and I also have it up on Twitter. 20 new exemptions this legislative session.
I want to ask you while I have you, and I don't know if you've even looked into the story, but the issue going on that even the Washington Post is now covering with the Malheur Enterprise, where there has been a request to investigate reporters of the newspaper for emailing county workers after hours. And if you've had a chance to look at that or can say anything about it at this point.
I did, yeah. I've read that story from several sources. It's very troubling. It seems absurd that any sort of public servant would be engaging in that kind of activity, trying to get a newspaper investigated.
All right. I mean, and as far as emailing people after hours, this is, I mean, I can't imagine there's any particular even policy that would speak to that.
No, there's not. And I mean, the truth is sometimes people email me after hours. If I'm not on the clock, then I just don't respond to the email. Then I wait and I respond to it the next morning.
All right. Thanks for weighing in on that. I appreciate that. So coming back to the results of the survey and what's going on with public records in the rest of Oregon, it seems like so many responders to the survey said they don't have a system or software. Is there stuff out there that might help some of these smaller agencies in particular standardize?
So there are some private corporate tools that are provided to some agencies. I know Portland has its own tool, a software that's used to both process and track public records requests. And it's also associated with, on the front end, the outward-facing end, there's a portal that people can submit their public records requests through. There are a lot of different offerings for that kind of tool. I know that there are conversations in state government about procuring something like that or developing something like that for state agencies within the state of Oregon. And I'm very much hoping that moves forward, because I think it's pretty key to both processing public records requests in a timely manner, but also getting more data about how agencies are processing requests.
Is it still something of a Wild West kind of situation, Ginger, with agencies still getting used to the things that are required to be public, things that go beyond paper records now? We're talking about electronic records and text messages as well as emails. And I just wonder if there's still a lot of struggling just to keep up with the changes in technology.
There definitely is. That's a real challenge. One of the things that I hear the most about is actually the challenges related to databases, because databases are a public record, but it's very difficult to make those available to the public, to exempt out the portions of them that should be exempt. Oftentimes, it's difficult to extract things from that database in a way that would be useful to the public. So I think that those sorts of electronic records are a real challenge.
Well, you might have 16 columns of stuff, and you can allow 12 out to the public, that kind of thing?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And that's a challenge not just on the state level, but also on the federal level. I saw the same problems in the federal government as I've seen here in the state government.
Now, Ginger, the Public Records Advisory Council that you chair was originally supposed to sunset, wasn't it?
It was, yeah.
And what's the current status?
So we did get a bill passed this legislative session to make that Public Records Advisory Council permanent, which I think is really important. It's a very unique council. It's a multi-stakeholder composition. It has representatives from state and local government, but also representatives from the requester community and the news media community. So I think in that way, it's uniquely well-positioned to be able to vet ideas, hear from multiple different viewpoints, from a diversity of backgrounds, and then make good, well-thought-out policy proposals related to the public records law.
And we have about 30 seconds left. There was other legislation you mentioned that didn't pass, and were there other bits that you wanted to get through that didn't happen?
Well, the only other thing that we had submitted this time, this legislative session, was the annual reporting requirements, which would have mirrored the information that we collected in the survey, but it would have made it mandatory for state agencies to report that on an annual basis. I think it's really unfortunate that didn't pass, and I'm very much hoping that the council will take it up in the next legislative session, and hopefully then it will get passed.
All right. You mentioned it's certainly been a challenging job, but you're knowing more every day, it seems like, with things like the survey.
Yes, definitely. Right. The survey will be very helpful to us.
Okay, we'll look at the revised versions that other agencies volunteered after the initial publication. A public records advocate, Ginger McCall, has been our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. Her position is relatively new, as is the Public Records Advisory Council, but as you just heard, permanent now because of the action of the legislature. Ginger, thanks for joining us once again on the Exchange.
Thank you.
Good to have you.